Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know who's doing the sound the sound today, but you have a small challenge. Our brother said we're looking forward to hearing from our brother this morning, and he didn't know how much faith that would take. My voice this is not my normal voice, but I'm happy I have a voice, and I'm happy I have something good to tell you, and I hope that you can listen, because I have lots of good things to tell you. Why? Because it's coming from God's Word, and as the saying goes, it's all good, right?
Amen.
Amen. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. So, Mr. Sound Engineer, if you're... I'm not a yeller. I do like to get close to the microphone sometimes, and so if there's a problem with hearing me, somebody raise their hand and say, let's try something different. I would appreciate that. But I'm not a one who walks around and things like that. So hopefully you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 1. If you need titles to sermons, I would title it a fairly serious title, like The Ascension: Before, During, and After. If you need a more catchy title and you want to do something to do with the season, that being the World Series season, maybe you could say something like, I have two actually, going, gone. Or back, out of here. So maybe you'll catch on. As our brother Randy said, I am a physician. I am actually a retired physician now since it's 1st of July. This is not my normal face in a way. Some of you maybe haven't seen me. I haven't shaved since retirement. No, it's just for fun. I was saved about 2 weeks before I started medical school. And I have a personal testimony tract of a younger doctor here. And I'm going to leave them somewhere up here. There's not much to leave it on. There are some in the back, too, just in case you wanted to hear about how the Lord saved me. You had a chance to meet my wife, or hear my wife, or Corey, Amy, Vicky, the sisters did. We met about that same time, and there's some interesting stories about how we saw The Hiding Place as one of our first dates. It's pretty interesting. So, Luke chapter 1, I do have a question before we go into the Word, and maybe you'll understand why. What is the most wonderful thing you've ever seen? If I gave you three choices, because you want to narrow it down to, let's see, the most wonderful thing you've ever seen, can you at least start to think about what's the most wonderful thing you've seen with your eyes? Now, part of the reason why I say this thing about your eyes is because, actually, I'm a retired ophthalmologist now. My calling, if you want to call it that, was, in a worldly sense, but was to be an eye surgeon, a physician of the eyes, and to help people see better. We had a sick joke among ophthalmologists, though. At the University of Cincinnati, where I retired from, people would die, and we'd say things like, among ourselves, well, at least they die seeing. That's because ophthalmologists care about what people see. And so does the Lord Jesus care about what we see. Have you thought about what was the most wonderful thing you've ever seen? One of our brothers stood up during the Lord's Supper and talked about, well, he's been gone, and he really liked to see his family face to face. And there's a country western song that goes something like that, too. The most... You know, I've seen a lot of things. I've seen the sunsets. I've seen the Grand Canyon. I've seen the stars. But the most beautiful thing to me is from my back porch, looking in. Because, see, that was where his wife was. And that's where his two girls was. And the most beautiful thing he's ever seen, and he's seen a lot, according to this country western song, is those one loved ones inside the window. At the Lord's Supper, I couldn't help but make a note of the hymns that were sung out of the black hymnal 170. When we behold your face above, again, what would it be like to see the Lord Jesus Do you want to see him? If somebody came in, can I see your Lord, the Lord Jesus? Well, yeah, you can't. He's not here. Where is he? Well, he's gone. Where'd he go? How'd he get there? What's he been doing? Why can't I see him? Well, there are some people that did see him. And as the things we sung about, we long for that, don't we? One brother said, we want to see him as much as he wants to come as much as we want to come to him. He wants to come to us. He probably wants to come more than we sang after the Burgundy Handbook, 676. Face to face, I shall behold him. Beautiful sight your eyes will see someday, huh? I shall see him, it said in that song, same song. And it was read out of Acts 7. It said, Stephen, he said, he looked up in 7, he saw the Lord Jesus standing. He saw the Lord Jesus. He saw him with his, well, his mind's eyes, his eyes of faith. The Black Hymnal 144, if now with eyes defiled and dim, love, and it went on, love removes the scales to bid us see us. To bid us see him face to face. Face to face with my Savior. What will that be like? Every saint, thy glory. See, that's what the Lord Jesus wants us to see. And that's my prayer as I've been preparing for this. That the Lord Jesus would be magnified in your eyes. That you would know him. That he's alive. He is well. He is on the throne. And he cares. And he's ruling. And he's coming back. Even though he's gone away. And lastly, well, let every saint thy glory see. Job 42. My brother read out. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. Now my eyes see you, Job said. And we know what Job went through. He got his eyes straightened out, didn't he? Huh. And he got his heart straightened out too. Job. About a story about a man, God making a good man better. There are these in the back, and I'll give them here. So we said we would read out of Luke chapter 1, and I'll read the first four verses, and then we'll ask the Lord to help us. The physician Luke, inasmuch as I'm reading out of the New King James Version, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of these things which have been fulfilled among us, verse 2, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses, and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of the things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, O most Theophilus, or God lover, that you may know the certainty of the things which you were instructed. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for you being true to your promise and sending the Holy Spirit so that he would teach us, he would guide us. We pray that the people here that are hearing my weak voice would understand the great truths from your word. And that give help and help us to learn how to apply these things for our lives. Again, Father, we thank you for your son. Thank you for his soon coming back. We thank you that we have the hope of seeing him, and that is a purifying hope. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for Holy Spirit. May he magnify our Lord Jesus this morning. Amen. I hope you noticed as I read those verses with me emphasizing it, the Luke got his source from eyewitnesses. Whether he knew these eyewitnesses or not, he knew somebody who knew the eyewitness, and maybe they wrote things down. They were eyewitnesses. In courts of law, you need eyewitnesses. And this is what Luke is presenting to us, a very orderly account, and for a certain reason, he tells it from the very beginning, that you may know, not only his early readers, but you, and you, and you, that you may know the certainty of those things which you were instructed and hopefully are being instructed in the faith. Now, we're heading towards the end of this book, but on the way there, let's turn to chapter 2. Chapter 2. And hopefully you'll understand a little bit why I want to take a small little, well, it's not really a detour. It's on our way to Luke chapter 24, but a little stop. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. And pardon me if I stop and blow my nose and take a drink, and it's just going to be necessary. So I'm hoping, what do we have, an hour and a half, right? I think my voice is only go about 45 minutes. Preacher joke, I can't help it, you know, or you don't even say those things. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. Then the angel said to them, and that would be to the shepherds, "Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy." That's the words I want you to see. Great joy. Which will be to all people. I'm not a good example of this, but hopefully I'm becoming more of a good example that Christians should have great joy. They have lots of reasons to have great joy. Now look at across the page to verse 15. "So it was, when the angels had gone away from them to heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Now look at verse 25. Well, you know the rest of the story, by the way. The shepherds went and saw the baby Jesus. So, verse 25 now. "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." I wish I could remember what Simeon's name meant. I don't remember. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death, for he had seen the Lord's Christ. So by the Spirit he came into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed him and said, "Lord, you're now letting your servant depart in peace, because according to your word, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel." Look at verse 36, same chapter. "Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel in the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. She had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers every night." Now, I want to say something. I want to go back, because something that Simeon said, but when Simeon was saying these things, Anna must have been, we think Anna and Simeon were friends, and maybe they watched each other, especially Anna maybe watched Simeon, because he had made a promise, and when Simeon made a move, she was going to make a move. But listen to what Simeon tells Mary. And so we have to back up, I'm sorry. "Simeon blessed them," the mother, "blessed this child as destined," this is verse 34, "destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and a sign for which we spoken against, yes, and a sword will pierce your own heart also, your own soul also, that the hearts of many may be revealed." Now, that's what Simeon was saying and doing when Anna came up. And that was verse 38 now. "And coming at that instant, she gave him thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who had looked for the redemption in Jerusalem." So she heard all the things that Simeon had to say, and she got to see the baby Jesus as a reward, well, just as a reward of her faithfulness and the way she served him. Now, let's go all the way back to the Luke chapter 24. We're You're going to need a bookmark for this because we're going to read it twice, the first time now and then a little bit later. Luke chapter 24 and verse 50 to 52. Of course, this is after the Lord Jesus had been suffered and crucified, gone to Calvary and risen. And this is Luke chapter 24 and verse 50. And he led them out. He's still leading them. This is about, 40 days after the resurrection. He's still leading them. He led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now, it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they returned, and they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Do you remember this book? This was started out by the angels had a message of great joy. And now here it ends with, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now, on our way to the next account that Luke gives us of this same thing is in Acts chapter 1. So you might want to keep your, if you have a bookmark or something there, we're going to turn the page and we're going to go towards Acts chapter 1. But on our way there, I'm going to slowly turn our pages through John, and on purpose, John, but we're going towards Luke, we're turning to Acts chapter 1, if that's where you want to go and just wait for me. In John chapter 6 and verse 62, we don't have time to set the context, I don't think. The Lord Jesus is speaking to Jews and those that are around him then, and he goes, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Lord Jesus had this on his mind, even then when he talked to these people. What then should you see if the Son of Man ascend where he was before? Now, look at verse 38, same chapter, verse 38. And then we'll read 62 again. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Look at verse 41. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I'm the bread of heaven which came down from heaven. See, they want, give us this bread. We want the living bread. He says, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And now verse 51. Well, yeah, 51. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give him is my flesh, and I shall give for the life of the world. Now, if that was not enough to make them walk away, I mean, because who do you think you are? I mean, Moses gave us this bread. It's not my father. Not your Moses gave you the bread. My father gave you the bread to me. But now, verse 62 again. What then if you should see the Son of Man? Do you remember Daniel's vision? The Son of Man? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? Now, that could get him going too. The one that wanted to ruin him. The one that were jealous of him. So now, on our way to Acts chapter 1, and we have to go through John 7, 33. Then Jesus said to them, that's his, well, verse 32 says, the Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring, and the Pharisees and the chief priests and officials, and then Jesus said to them, what if you should, wait, I will be with you in a little while longer, then I will go to him who sent me. Jesus knew the Father's plan. Now on our way again to Acts chapter 1, I'd like to go ahead and stop it in John chapter 14. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. These are to his disciples. This is John chapter 14. And he said, don't let your heart be troubled. And this is, that was 14 verse 1. And in 14 verse 16, he says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. He said, hey, literally, for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, I can't send the helper. Those are verse 18 too. Wonderful, wonderful verse from those people who are concerned, what is happening now? I mean, they're just trying to understand. These disciples have been with them for a while. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The Lord Jesus cared for them and cared for what they were thinking. Now, as moving on to Acts chapter 1, chapter 16, verse 5. It's not as if Jesus sounded like a broken record, but there's definitely something on his mind. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? Look at verse 20. Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, but you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. There's that word again, joy. In verse 28, same chapter, verse 28. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world to go to the Father. And we're getting pretty close to Acts, aren't we? Yeah, so Acts chapter 1. Now, I said we were going to kind of read Luke's second account. I said, please keep your finger by the first account. Remember what's happened now. Jesus has been to the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it's possible, please let this cup pass from me. But not your will, but my will. And he sweat drops of blood. Father says it's not possible. He went on to be in front of Pilate, been in front of, well, and the high priest and Pilate, and then to the cross. And who was around the cross? Who do you remember? Well, John. And there she was. She was having a sword pierced through her heart as she saw her son, who she raised, stabbed with, sword piercing her own heart. Take your mother, John, and receive your son. And he dismissed his spirit. 3 days later, raised from the dead, as he had been telling them. And so, now it's time. Luke wants to give another account. Let's read, and we're going to compare the Luke 24 with the Acts chapter 1. Well, in a sense, you could call this Luke 2, or a continuation of Luke's gospel, or better, probably the Acts of the risen Lord. This is Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read 1 through 4. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit he had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them. During 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem and to wait. Now, one of our brothers mentioned this morning, it's hard to wait. It's hard to wait. Especially if you really want what's coming. I mean, it's hard to wait. But the Lord Jesus said, wait. Now, he also said, go out and make disciples, but wait first. Wait. Obey. Something's better. You need it. Wait. Where was I? Wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. Now, there's a couple things I want to say. I mean, let's go back to Luke and compare something here. In Luke chapter 24, in verse 50, he led them out. He led them out as far as Bethany. And, he said, guys, my work is done. Now, you're going to have to work. I'm going to the Father, like I said. Now, it's up to you guys to carry on the work. And it's done. Now, he's given commandments. And you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just remember all I've taught you. Go, the Holy Spirit's going to help you. And he's, oh, let's go. There's nothing else to do. And as he was speaking to them, he blessed them. And he was blessing them. And as he was, let's read it again. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up to heaven. Do you get the picture? He was blessing them. And the last thing the disciples see him is, the Lord Jesus is blessing them. He wants to bless. He wants to bless his people. He wants to bless you and you. He wants you to look to him, but he wants to bless. That's how, that's the nature of him. Many infallible proofs. With many infallible proofs, he'd been seen by them. By the way, he was given commandments to his disciples. He's still in charge. In a sense, they're going to his finishing school. Because they still need to learn some more. Like, what has happened? We didn't think this was going to be like this. And then the king, he's our king, great, but now he's going away. What's going on? The Lord Jesus had said these things, but he had also shown them many things. And with the help of harmony of the Gospels, and if you've never spent any time with these, you ought to get one and try to read the Gospels through the harmony of the Gospels. It's somewhat cumbersome, but it can be very much a blessing. What kind of things, infallible proofs? Well, you know, the first appearance that he made to after his resurrection was on that Resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week, the appearance of Jesus to Mary Magdalene. And then that same day, we remember that Jesus appeared to, remember these people saw Jesus, the appearance of Jesus to the other women after Mary, Mary Magdalene. I want to hasten to add right now because of Mary, that name, because I may forget to say it. Mary saw her beloved son raised again. I mean, think about what she had. What a blessing. It's like tying the knot, you might say, for Mary and for the Lord Jesus too. Mary got to see. She's not really mentioned, but she's part of the group there in the prayer meeting, right? Later on in Acts. So she was one of these that got trotted out there and got to see her son raised, I think. I mean, I'm pretty sure of that. The next appearance would be to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, same day. And then it said they appeared to Peter. We don't know for sure where, but he said to Peter, you know, and Peter had a little private meeting with Peter. Peter, I know what happened. We need to get this. We need to make sure everything is good with things. So he had a private meeting with Peter. And then the next appearance would be to the, well, A.T. Robertson says, to the astonished disciples, Thomas being absent. And then the next appearance would be convincing proofs. About a week later, this is recorded anyway. You know, Jesus was doing in between that week. Was he? The appearance of the disciples the next Sunday, and Thomas was there. And then there was an appearance. Next would be the appearance of seven disciples beside the Sea of Galilee when they caught all the fish and the miraculous catch of the fish. The next would be the appearance of 500 people that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. The next appearance would be to the brother, James, the brother of Jesus. That's 1 Corinthians 15:7. And the next appearance would be to, it would be in Jerusalem, the appearance to the disciples with another commission. And that's pretty much where we are right now. In Acts chapter 3. In a sense, there was one more appearance, of course, when he goes up to heaven. But also, what about Paul? Maybe don't count that. Right? Paul saw him. Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. I hope you understand what Jesus has in his mind. I want to teach them. I'm going to command them. I'm going to tell them what's best for them. Just like he's doing for us, just like he's doing for me and for you. And he's telling, wait. Sometimes you have to wait for the blessing that God wants to send. And they had to wait 10 days, right? And then they were going, then they could go, and then they could go do what he wanted to do, but they had to wait. Trust and obey, and they had a little, other little business to do. Turn now, if you will, into Ephesians. Our brother read from Ephesians today, and this is, I think the similar part. So I listened to him with excitement, thinking about, wow, Lord, I appreciate you helping me know that maybe I'm on the right track in what I wanted to present to you today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 23. I think we have time. I hope you know the context of the Ephesians somewhat. The Apostle Paul, who is in prison, and I think it's Rome. And I've heard you say something about somebody in your midst, about prison and all that. And Paul the prisoner, did he want to be in prison? No. Was he in there because he wrongfully accused? Yes. Was it God's will? Yes. Was things happening good in prison? Yes. That's easy for me to say. And I hope this brother and sister and you as a community of believers can help them. But you have to wait and see what God has for them. We saw what God had for Paul. He was released out of one prison and went back to another later on. But keep upholding him and visiting him and encouraging him and do all the things for that family you need to do, like they did for Paul. Paul said, as he was writing from prison, verse 15, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. Look at verse 18 now. Okay. The eyes, your eyes, is it these eyes? No. The eyes of your understanding. Marginal reading, if I can find it fast enough. Of your hearts. The eyes of your hearts, the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. We're going to keep going to verse 23. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand. That's something, raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father. There's an ascension takes place. He goes up. People saw that happen. See to him in his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that may name, only in this age but also in the world in which is to come. He's put all things under his feet and given him that as head to be the over all things to the church, your church universal, local churches like yours, which is his body, the fullness of all, who fills all in all. What has the Lord Jesus been doing since he went to heaven? Well, he's been receiving worship. The worship like we had, and the worship of angels. He's been ruling. He's been reigning. He's been in charge. Another thing that I hope I can remember to mention later. Now turn, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. This was mentioned this morning also. The book of Hebrews. And what I want to read from is Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. But since we have a little time, I want to bring you to your attention some, I want to remind you of some verses, most of you. The ministry of reminding is a very good thing. I need it. So keep reminding everyone. You still need to be reminded. You may forget things. Or in the midst of all the problems, wait, don't you remember? Just remind you of the things you've learned. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at various times and various places spoke in times past to the fathers by his prophets, but in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who bring the brightness of his glory. the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. That's what he's been doing. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. So when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He sat down. Now, maybe we heard from Stephen that he stood up, but he's sitting down on the throne where he's reigning. Someone has said something like, the dust of the earth is now seated in heaven. That the heavenly man, the man that came down, took upon himself the form of a bondservant, and then he went to the cross, he's the last Adam, the second man, made of the dust. Now, the dust of earth is sitting on heaven's throne. Think about that for a while. How great is our God. On our way back to Hebrews 10, look at some verses in chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 24. Chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. I'm glad I put that verse in here because this is what I would remind you to say, and I think our brother said it this morning, but therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who have come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What's he been doing? He's living to make intercession for you and for you and for me. What a wonderful ministry of a great high priest. He's perfect high priest. And he's going to live forever. He's not going to be disqualified from reason, and he's making intercession for you. So, now chapter 8 and verses 1 through 2. I like when the writers do this because I need to get grounded. Now, this is the main point, which we've been saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Where has Jesus gone? This is where he's gone. What's he doing? He's a minister in the sanctuary in the true tabernacle that the Lord erected, not man. Now, back to our target verses, Hebrews chapter 10 and verses, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Pray about it. You can pray about it. You need wisdom. Pray about it. You need this. Pray about it. Because you can draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled in the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And nothing's going to surprise them. Just come. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. He who promised is faithful. He sent the Holy Spirit, didn't he? Promised. Here, Pentecost happened. Let us consider one another. Brothers and sisters, are you considering one another? In order to stir up love. Yep, love. And good works. Not forsaking the assembly of yourself together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more when you see, the day approaching. You know, when Luke wrote that second account, you might say, or Acts chapter 1, he said things like, Jesus is continuing the things that he began to do and to teach. He's a teacher, and the best teacher, and he's a doer. So he said, you hear the word and then do it. But Jesus was the same way. He practiced what he preached. He did things and he taught things. And that old saying, what sometimes, maybe taught more than, by example, but, you know, that old saying, preach often and sometimes use words, where all the words of the Lord Jesus were good and everything he did. He always went around doing good. I just had mentioned one thing. We're almost at the end. I was at a big Chicago meeting, ophthalmology meeting. They call it the American Academy of Ophthalmology. Huge. I was in a downtown office building. I mean, downtown office hotel. I don't like those hotels. I don't like the meetings. They're too big. And but I still have my quiet time. I came across the part in John, I forget, I think it's John I don't know. Jesus healed the Lord. Jesus healed the man that was born blind. And I've been going to these meetings and hearing these courses and seeing these big old convention things. And I'm right there in the middle of this. Wow. All these little men scurrying around and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus would go and go wash. And he comes back. You're made well. Yeah. And, he said, and now you see him. You're the one you see is the one who made you well. And now, he worshiped. When he got his sight back. I think for our last verse, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 9. And Romans was mentioned today in the Lord's Supper too, I believe. Romans chapter 9 and verses 31 and 32. Hopefully we have seen the Lord Jesus, how caring he is, how good teacher he is, how he's working, and he's working all things together for good. He's interceding for you. He's preparing a place for you. He wants to come, and he wants you to come, and he wants to come, as we reminded us today. Romans chapter 9, verse 31 and 32. And I'm sorry, it's Romans chapter 8, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. What can we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered us up for us all. How will he not with him freely give us all things? Encourage one another with these words. Look at verses 35 and 39. 35. Do you remember, the disciples may have been having anxiety about, what do you mean you're going away? What do you mean we're going to be separated? What do you mean? What, you're going away, and what, it's better for us that you go? Verse 35, the apostle Paul wrote, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate? So tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Of course the word is no. No. Now a sword would dispatch the prisoner Paul to heaven, but he wouldn't be separated from the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us. Won't be able to separate us, and then we'll see face to face. Face to face, what will I see? For the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So the Lord Jesus made good on his promise. He sent the Holy Spirit. He works with us. It's his work, right? It's his work. But he lets us kind of join in. And he works through us, through the Holy Spirit. He cares for us. He intercedes for us. He's preparing a place especially for you. He knows what you like. He knows what you want. He's preparing a place for you. And he waits. He waits for you to come. He waits for the Father to say go. And he waits. And he waits. How's your vision of the Lord Jesus? Sometimes it's easy to lose sight of the Lord Jesus. Have I lost sight of the Lord Jesus? I'm not talking about these kind of eyes. But eyes of faith. Do you see him as caring? Even of the trouble that's coming across your brothers and sisters, do you see him as caring? Has he stopped caring for them? No. Do you see him as interested in you? Is he interested in you? He is. Do you see him as interested in you? He's interested in the numbers of the hairs. I mean, do you see him interceding? Do you picture a high priest interceding in the throne room of heaven for you? Do you see him making or having preparation, a place for you to come, or in waiting for you to come? Do you see these things? May the Lord Jesus help us, and the Holy Spirit help us as we look to him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. God willing, if I have a voice, and I have some things to share about sight tonight at the at Rest Haven, it'll be interesting for me, and I hope it'll be interesting to you too. So let's just close the Lord Let's just close this by in prayer. Father, we thank you for your your word. Help us to see your Son more and more, the real Jesus that was presented in your word. Help us look to him for all that we need. Thank you that you provided for everything that we need. And we're sorry for looking other places. And we know we're prone to wander and prone to leave the God we love. Take our hearts and bind them and seal it for the courts above. Father, praise you for your Son. Pray that you send him back as soon as it's time. We pray in his name. Amen.